Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, July 30, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, the great paragraph on one of the most important doctrines that you as a church age believer can learn and believe and apply. And that is the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 6, we have completed the exegetical study of Romans 6, 1 through 5. We're in the midst of the categorical study of the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. But let's start out with Romans 6, verse 1, and note the corrected translation. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Verse 3, or are you ignorant? And sad to say, many of them were ignorant. And even more sad to say, today in our country, I would say most believers in Jesus Christ are ignorant, do not understand one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death, retroactive positional truth. And therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by means of the glory of the Father, the omnipotence of God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, church age saints, might live in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, then certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Well, we went all through the exegetical study of that great paragraph. We're in the midst of the categorical study of the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we got started on it last week. We noted point one, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of seven salvation ministries of God the Holy Spirit, along with efficacious grace, regeneration, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing ministry of the Spirit, and the sovereign distribution of spiritual gifts. And then point two, we studied the definition. And under the definition, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real baptism, not a ritual baptism which has water. It is a real baptism, an actual identification in which God the Holy Spirit, at the moment that we believe in Jesus Christ, identifies the believer with Christ's death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and with his resurrection, current positional truth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of forming the royal family of God during the church age. We're going to see the passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are a new creation. And in one translation, a new creature. Ooh. We've got a lot of creatures out there. We'll take a look at that, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The union with Christ is called positional sanctification. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an experience. It is the function of the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit, placing every believer into union with Jesus Christ, making him a new spiritual species, a new creation. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is related to this dispensation only. We live in the church age. Began at Pentecost. It concludes with the rapture. It refers only to this dispensation. The baptism of the Spirit is not found in the Old Testament, and there are no eschatological references to it beyond the church age. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the function of any spiritual gift, such as speaking in tongues. And as I pointed out last time, no one has legitimately spoken in tongues since A.D. 70. It was a temporary spiritual gift. And we have studied spiritual gifts in great detail here, and we will study them again when we find them in our passage, but there are temporary spiritual gifts, and there are permanent spiritual gifts. And the gift of tongues was a temporary spiritual gift. It is no longer operating today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not experiential. Union with Christ is a permanent identification which distinguishes Christianity from religion. Now, religion is the devil's ace trump. It is man by man's work seeking to gain the approbation of God. It is a satanic, false gospel, salvation by works. But in Christianity, the believer, through faith in Jesus Christ and resultant union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit has a permanent relationship with God. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the living and true God entered into by faith in Him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit forms the body of Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ being the head. Point three, we studied that the baptism of the Holy Spirit creates the royal family of God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of providing a royal family for our Lord's third royal title, which is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Through the baptism of the Spirit, the church age believer is entered into union with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And therefore, the church age believer is royal family of God. We are spiritual aristocracy. And to whom much is given, much is required. Point four, the analogy of the head and the body. We studied that in Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24, and Ephesians 5, 30 to 32. The head is incomplete without the body. The humanity of Christ is incomplete without a royal family for Him. And this analogy teaches that the church universal, the body, cannot be a living organism without the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, being in union with Christ. God the Father appointed Jesus Christ as the head of the body. The royal family in union with Christ is called the body. The royal family on earth is called the body of Christ. The royal family in eternity is the bride of Christ. Point five, we studied the characteristics of the baptism of the Spirit. First of all, we noted that it is not an experience. It is not an emotional activity, nor is it ecstatics, and therefore it is not speaking in tongues. It is not related to human feeling. It is not progressive, and therefore it cannot be improved in either time or eternity. Our union with Jesus Christ is perfect from the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. It's not related to sin. Positional sanctification, union with Christ, and ultimate sanctification, when we have our resurrection body living with God forever in heaven, are not related to sin. However, in experiential sanctification, you as a believer have the option. The option to live the spiritual life or to live in Satan's cosmic system. It is not related to any human merit or ability or works. There is nothing you can do by way of works to have the baptism of the Spirit. Rather, it is obtained at the moment of salvation through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. It is not a post-salvation experience. It is not the second blessing, so-called by the tongues crowd. Union with Christ is a completed ministry by God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it cannot be reversed by any human failure. It is eternal. It is unchangeable. It cannot be canceled or changed by God, angels, or man. It is a part of your eternal security. And therefore, no renunciation on your part, no sin, human good or evil on your part, no moral or immoral degeneracy on your part can ever cancel the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is known and understood only through the God-breathed scriptures. And that is specifically, there's a word that describes the God-breathed scriptures for this dispensation, and that's the Greek word musterion. Looks like that in the Greek, M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N. And it's oftentimes transliterated mystery. It's not a chill or thriller. This mysterion means that nobody knew about it in the Old Testament times. It was revealed for this dispensation, and therefore it's called mystery doctrine, church age truth. Truth for this dispensation that we live in. And you're only going to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the mysterion doctrines, the church age truth provided by, well, mostly by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament epistles. So therefore, it cannot be applied in a state of ignorance, and that's Romans 6, our paragraph, especially verses 3 through 5. It is subject to you learning, believing the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now that brings us to point 6. We start this morning at point 6. And point 6, we have the mechanics of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The mechanics of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want you all to turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, starting at verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Now that's a very powerful passage, but turn over now to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. The body is a unit. One body, but it has many parts, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, a couple of things by way of amplification and to understand this in more detail. One, the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs at the moment of personal faith in Jesus Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs at the moment of personal faith in Christ. And that's why we have in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that illustration, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Point two, drinking, like eating, is an illustration of the non-meritorious character of faith. Faith as the only means of salvation. So drinking, Like eating is an illustration of the non-meritorious character of faith as the only means of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. All kinds of people can swallow. And water, tea, or your favorite beverage, whatever that is. All kinds of people can swallow. Three. Therefore, the baptism of the Spirit is provided for all believers at the moment of salvation. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So therefore, the baptism of the Spirit is provided for all believers at the moment of salvation. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Subpoint four. Therefore, it is a unifying factor. A unifying factor. In that it is the means of forming the royal family of God. This new creation. This new spiritual species of the church age. Therefore, it is a unifying factor. In that it is the means of forming the royal family of God. Five. The universality of the baptism of the Spirit precludes the possibility of it ever being experiential. The universality of the baptism of the Spirit. Every single person in this dispensation who believes in Christ is baptized by God the Holy Spirit, identified with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth, identified with Christ in His resurrection, current positional truth. Universal. So the universality of the baptism of the Spirit precludes the possibility of it ever being experiential. It does not distinguish one believer from another. It does not make one believer superior to another or inferior to another. And therefore, the position of the charismatic movement is nothing more than apostasy and blasphemy. It fails to recognize the true nature of the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. It's blasphemy because it dilutes the ministry of God the Holy Spirit with human activity and human works. It is apostasy because it is a false interpretation of the Word of God, which results in departure from the mystery doctrine of the church age truth, and substitutes a legalistic pseudo-spirituality by works. Subpoint six. The baptism of the Spirit is not an experience. It is not an experience. It occurs at the moment of your faith in Christ. I believed in Jesus Christ. I had no idea that God the Holy Spirit took me and grabbed me by the nape of the neck and put me up in union with Christ. I had no idea. I learned about that after my salvation. All I knew was that I believed in Jesus Christ. I knew that He gave me the gift of eternal life. I knew He imputed His righteousness to me. I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to live with Him forever. I knew that, but that's all I knew. I was a baby, a spiritual baby. And then God guided me to a very, very wonderful local church in Pullman, Washington, Bethany Bible Church, and a pastor there, Ron Breckel, excellent pastor teacher, trained, prepared for the ministry, knew the Word of God. He taught the grace and truth of the Word of God, and I started assembling there, and it was awesome to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I wasn't going to go there, but there was a fellow in Campus Crusade for Christ. His name was Earl Dannon. And I don't know how he got my name, but he got my name somehow. I think the devil must have did it. I don't know. He got my name, and he knocked on my door at Stevenson South, fifth floor, and he's standing there with glasses that look like binoculars. He's blind. How did he find my room? And he said, "Ole." I said, "Yes." "I'm Earl Dannon, Campus Crusade for Christ. Mind if I come in and share with you what I'm learning in the Word?" I said, "Well, okay." He goes, "Oh boy." He comes in and he gets his Bible with those binocular glasses. He says, "We've been studying this in order." I go, "Yeah." He says, "There's a great pastor here. He tells it like it is. Would you want to go to church with me this Sunday?" I go, "Oh, Earl, you know, I'm on the track team. I'm carrying a full load. I got a lot of study. I don't think I have time to go to church." "Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll see you again." Well, a few days later, "Hi, Ole. What are you learning in the Word? I like to share with you what I'm learning in the Word." Well, he did that 2 or 3, 4, 5 times. And then he said, "You want to go with me to church?" And I thought, well, I better go. So I said, "Sure, I'll go this Sunday. We'll go to church." And we sat in the back like Tyrone there. Sat in the back. And Pastor Breckel started out with top circle, bottom circle. He gave the grace gospel. He pointed out at the moment of faith in Christ, you're entered into union with Christ. You are in Christ Jesus, a result of the baptism of the Spirit. And he taught rebound. Now, I had been a believer for a couple of years, but I had been out of fellowship for that whole time too. And that was the first time I learned about the problem-solving device of rebound. And right there, he gave a few moments for silent prayer. I acknowledged my sins to God. I knew I was forgiven and cleansed. For the first time in a couple of years, I was in fellowship with God. It was like 2,000 pounds went off my shoulders. And then I listened. And I knew almost nothing from what the Bible had to say. But just learning rebound was now like the greatest, deepest truth ever taught. And I said, there, and I just, big smile on my face, and listened to him teach the Word of God. And when class was over, I went back to Stevenson. My feet didn't even touch the ground. I was just floating all the way back to Stevenson. And I did see Earl. I said, "Earl, you don't have to ask me again. That guy is fantastic. I will be back. I am." And then I went back. And just like you, I started growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And down the road, I learned about the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. This fantastic, one of the most important doctrines that you can ever study and know and understand and apply this to your spiritual life. So the baptism of the Spirit, point six?
Yes.
Okay, the baptism of the Spirit is not an experience. Subpoint seven, it is an act of the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit entering every person in the church age into union with Christ at the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ. It is an act of the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit entering every person in the church age into union with Jesus Christ at the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ. So point eight, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing that happens to us at salvation. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing that happens to us at salvation. It forms the church universal. It forms the body of Christ. It forms the royal family of God. It forms a new creation, a new spiritual species. And this distinguishes us from every other dispensation in human history. And it makes it possible for us to have equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. Equal. All of you have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to reach spiritual maturity, and to glorify God forever and ever and ever. Equal privilege. Doesn't matter what your IQ is, human IQ is. You have spiritual IQ as a result of the indwelling and filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. You all have the ability to learn the greatest and deepest truths of the Word of God, learn them, believe them, apply them, and equal privilege to glorify God to the maximum. It makes no difference if you flunked out of kindergarten. And I flunked out of kindergarten. I did. My mom dropped me off. Somebody in the neighborhood, another family in the neighborhood, said, there's going to be a kindergarten. How about Richard goes to the kindergarten? That was the stupidest idea I ever heard of. Huh? I went and got dropped off, and I bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled. And finally, the teacher called up my mom, come and get your bawling son out of here. And then she took me outside and set me on the curb. Wait for your mother. Mom drove by. I said, I just flunked out of kindergarten. I said, don't ever send me to one of those places again. I felt the same way going to school. I did not want to go to school either. I had a bad attitude about first grade. I did not want to go. I was crying all the way until I walked in and saw the teacher. Miss Renner, good looking gal. And all of a sudden no problem, Mom, I got it from here on. And I'll definitely be in first grade from now on. So this distinguishes us from every other dispensation and makes it possible for us to have equal privilege and equal opportunity in under the protocol plan of God of the church age. Now point seven. And this is so important, and how wonderful the application of the baptism of the Spirit. The application of the baptism of the Spirit. So let's go back to Galatians 3 once again. Let's go back to Galatians 3, 26 to 28. Verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All right? First principle of application. First principle of application is that there is racial equality in union with Jesus Christ. There is racial equality in union with Jesus Christ. Let's amplify this. One, the phrase, there is neither Jew nor Greek, means that the baptism of the Spirit provides racial equality in union with Jesus Christ. That phrase, there is neither Jew nor Greek, means the baptism of the Spirit provides racial equality in union with Jesus Christ. Now the two words used here, Jew and Greek, are two distinct races, and the most famous races of the ancient world. The Jews thought of themselves as superior to everybody else because of the Mosaic Law. The Greeks thought of themselves as superior to everyone else because of their great history of thought and cultural genius, especially in the 4th and 5th centuries B.C. The Jews despised the culture of the Greeks. The Greeks viewed the Jew as having no culture, no great philosophical background. So there was great racial antagonism between these two races of the ancient world. Subpoint two. The baptism of the Spirit makes it very clear that racial prejudice is evil. The baptism of the Spirit makes it very clear that racial prejudice is evil. Stupid people think in terms of racism. Don't ever, ever pull that card. The race card. There's no place for you as a member of the royal family of God in union with Jesus Christ. Don't ever, ever get involved in that. We no longer have the right to think this way as royal family of God in union with Jesus Christ. Subpoint three. Every time you are guilty of racial prejudice, you are totally out of line, and you are living in Satan's cosmic system. Every time you are guilty of racial prejudice, you are totally out of line and living in Satan's cosmic system. Subpoint four. There is no place for racial prejudice. No place for racial prejudice. You are in union with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. We're one. One. You don't think in terms of your race. And by the way, we've been here for so long and married to so many different people. I remember when I went to school, the teacher wanted to know what our race was. Well, my name was Olsen. On my dad's side, I knew I was Norwegian, Scot-Irish. That put me down here, right off the bat. And then, I went home because I wasn't exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure. I went home, I said, Mom, what am I? She said, well, my mother had a great sense of humor. She said, on your father's side, you're Norwegian, Scot-Irish. On my side, you are a mess. I said, okay. So I went back and told the teacher, I'm a mess. She goes, you got that right. So your race is not, and you don't ever, ever pull that card. There is no place for racial prejudice. Subpoint five. There is no such thing as either a superior or inferior race in Christianity. There is no such thing as either a superior nor inferior race in Christianity. Six, race is no issue because every church age believer is in union with Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. And that means racial equality. Race is no issue because every church age believer is in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. And that means racial equality. So point seven. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. See, the Greeks were Gentile. You can divide the whole human race into two categories, Jews and Gentiles. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. And therefore, there is no racial distinctions in union with Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Therefore, there is no racial distinctions in union with Jesus Christ. So point eight. The baptism of the Spirit demands that the believer think of himself as simply a person. A person. Totally apart from any form of superiority or inferiority. The baptism of the Spirit demands that the believer think of himself as a person, totally apart from any form of superiority or inferiority. You are not to think of yourself as superior nor inferior, or with any form of human prejudice or hypocrisy. You never look to your right or your left and evaluate anyone by their race, what you think their race is, or anything else. You only look at yourself as a person. And when you look at the rest of the royal family, we're all one. Racial equality. We're all one. In union with Jesus Christ. All these other believers that are in here, they're in union with Christ. What do they have? They have the gift of eternal life. They have God's imputed righteousness in them. They have the same imputed righteousness that you have. They have the same eternal life that you have. They are in union with the same King of Kings and Lord of Lords that you are. You are equal, racial equality. So, the baptism of the Spirit, this great, great doctrine for the church age, eliminates any racial prejudice. We have racial equality in union with Christ. That's the first principle of application. But we're going to take a break. And then let you come back for the second principle of application and the third principle of application. There is no fourth. Okay. All right. Time for a break.